But I'm glad you're all able to join us this week for Sunday church. And we're in our, I'm going to continue our series. I'm going to pick off right where, I'm picking up right where I left off. That's what I was trying to say. In this series about foundations and foundations of what we believe as believers, what we, how we should be living, how we should be walking as believers. And I'm praying that today is just a reminder, an encouragement, a refocusing for some of us. And for some of us, if this is the first time hearing this, great. This is what we have for an idea of a new covenant church as new covenant believers. Amen? And I believe that as we've been walking through this, I believe that there's been some encouraging things that you have heard. I've heard from some of you guys and have told me that. So I'm going to trust the some of you that have talked to me and trust that the rest of you just haven't had time to call me and tell me that. So we'll go with that. But today we're going to talk about boldness. But more than just boldness, I want to talk about something called bold grace. See, today, the world, and it's been this way for at least a year, but it even stems back further than that. The world is full of fear. And I think when I came here to preach the call, I talked about getting rid of fear. And it's something that I preach about often because I think far too many people in this world live a life full of fear. And I think, for one, we need to be done with the fear. Heck, there was a show named Fear Factor. We're obsessed with fear. And we need to be done with it. We need to step out of the darkness of fear and step into the light of God's goodness. Too many are fearful of things like the dark, of poverty, of sickness, of having nothing, of lack. People are fear of things like of COVID. I said it. They're fearful of whatever the media tells them to be fearful of, and we need to stop being fearful of everything. The mindset of fear has not even just been in the world, it has crept itself into our churches. And as believers, I'm going to say this, and this, I'll be honest first off, this was my message 2 weeks ago, guys. I did not rewrite my message based on what I've just gone through. But I really wish I'd have had a chance to preach this message beforehand and share this. But I think as a church, churches need to grow backbones and say enough is enough. We're not going to give in to fear any longer. We're not going to let the fear mentality of the world creep into our lives. We need to be bold people. It's quiet in here. That's either bad or good, or both. See, the first verse I want to frame the day around is a powerful verse that often just gets skimmed over. And it's Proverbs 28:1. It says, "The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions." Do we have lions here today? I pray we do. See, one of the problems with many believers today is that there is no curse chasing them, but they live like there is, and they keep on running. There's no punishment coming from God because Jesus took it on the cross. But they're still running from it. Why? Why? There is no big, powerful devil that they have to fear. He is a defeated wimp. But they're still running from this imagination of a powerful demonic attack. And when you do that, when you begin to run and when you live in fear, you're going to always be worried and anxious and scared. We've talked about this fact that the enemy has been defeated, that we don't have to live a life of fear. This is what we talked about through most of February, through January, as we talked about the Word. These are critical ideas behind a new covenant believer and behind a new covenant church, that the enemy is defeated and we are already victorious. So we need to live that way. When you begin to run and you live in fear and you're worried, you're not effective. And the Bible says that it is the righteous who are as bold as lions. So when you watch the videos of lions, has anybody ever watched any of these National Geographic videos with lions in it, or maybe any show with a lion in it? When you watch a lion move and when they're walking and the look on their face, isn't it an amazing look? They are fierce, they are bold, they're majestic, they're fearless, they're confident. How many of us believers walk around that way today? Not as many as we should. This word, that the godly or the righteous are as bold as lions, I love that. And the word bold, it means confident. And in an actual lion, it is trusting in their ability and trusting in their authority. See, we have been given ability. We have been given authority through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, have we not? We've been given that authority, so why are we not walking in it? We'd rather cower in the corner as wimps. Maybe not you, but you know what I'm saying, right? We need some lions today. We need some lions. See, for the godly or righteous, it is trusting in God and the authority that He has given us on that cross. It is the boldness and confidence in the grace that He has given me, this undeserved favor that He has given me. It is mine, and I can walk in it. It is yours, and you can walk in it and live in it. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." And the word trust is actually the same root word as the word bold. Did you know that? It's the same root word. So why can we be bold as a lion? Because there's a massive trusting in God. The world is great at bluffing. Have you ever heard, you've probably all heard the term because I don't make these terms up, but the fake it till you make it term, right? We've all heard that term. If you don't have it, act like it. And it's all about the image that you have. But I have news for you. If you play poker or have ever played poker or watch poker, you need to realize something. Has everybody ever seen poker? Has everybody ever played, maybe? Carrie, you're an old poker player, aren't you? Not an old poker player. I should rephrase. You're a poker player for a few years. No, I'm just going to stop trying to justify what I just said. But you know what I mean. So, yeah, I get grace today. It's my first Sunday back. But poker players, you're a poker player, and you're carrying a royal flush, and nothing beats what you have. You have God on the inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you have a winning hand that nothing can beat. So let's start living that way. There's nothing greater. And if you have the life of Jesus in you, and when you look at when He was on the cross, that He was giving you this righteousness as a gift that He has given, which means it is Jesus who gave you right standing with God. God is looking at what Jesus has done for you. And people too often think that if you're confident and bold, you're proud. Now, by definition, pride is when you look at yourself in your own strength. People who are afraid of everything, afraid to try things, afraid to lose things, afraid to do things, those are proud people. Did you know that? The people that are too afraid to do anything. And you're like, well, that doesn't make sense, Dave. That doesn't make sense. No, they're humble. They're proud. Do you know why they're proud? Because they're looking at themselves and they refuse to look at God and what God can do in their lives. They're looking at what can I do? It has nothing to do with what can I do. It has everything to do with what God did in me and God is continuing to do in me and what I can do because I have Him living inside of me. I'm so fired up, I'm spitting. We need to look at God. Arrogance is an external way of dealing with pride. But there are so many people who are timid and cowardly and drawing back. And the Bible is teaching us that if you are righteous, you understand the righteousness that is yours because of Jesus, that there is a boldness about you. When we have Jesus living inside of us, there should be a boldness. We should be able to be bold like a lion and know what we have. We're not just sheep going off to slaughter. We aren't just waiting for Jesus to save us off this wicked old planet with his power, with this powerful devil. And if he doesn't come soon, oh, it's going to be so bad. We have the authority of Jesus in our lives. We can walk with victory. Instead of recognizing that the job for us believers is to go out and share the good news with people, we hide in our four walls. There's a job for us to do. Too many of church people just want to share junk with whatever it is. COVID-19, the flu, this, that government, this government. Doesn't matter. Rather than the power, the authority, the blessings, the healing, the prosperity that come with Jesus, that's the life we should be sharing. Not the fear and darkness that the world would have us share and tell. The Bible tells us that if we share good news, the enemy is made our footstool. That was really loud. That was impressive. Jesus defeated him. And until his lease is up here on the earth, he's still going to be around. But he is a defeated foe. He is beaten. He's not locked up yet. He's not gone, but he is defeated. And we have the authority to just get rid of him. If he's trying to stick his head in your business, get lost, Satan. You got no authority here. We need to come boldly before the throne of God and get a life. The worst type of person is a person who is so religious, so timid, so fearful, and everything is a sin, and everything is bad, and we just live our lives sitting in church, reading our Bibles at home because we don't want to go out in the world and tell somebody. If you do that, you're not much use to the kingdom of God. You won't do any great exploits that he's called us to do. And if you're hiding in your house and you're just going to read your little Bible and you're not going to actually go out and spread the good word and the gospel, who wants to be like that? I don't. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are not coming to a throne of judgment or punishment. It doesn't say that there, does it? It's not saying, okay, you better get on your knees and grovel before the king because he is going to judge you right there. We might want to be on our knees, not for groveling and not for the sake of trying to beg for mercy. We've already received that on the cross, haven't we? It doesn't say we're coming to the throne of anger or displeasure, does it? That's not what I just read. We're coming to a throne of grace, and grace is God's favor on our life. To say that in today's English, you are coming to a throne of favors. Doesn't that sound much better than a throne of judgment? A throne of favor. Now, there's going to be a throne of judgment. The Bible talks about that. The Bible tells us about the great white throne and a time when all of the dead are going to be raised up and they're going to stand before God for judgment. But that's not a throne that the Christians will need to stand before. That's a throne that people will go to that never made a decision to accept Jesus and follow Christ. And the Bible says that the book of life is going to be looked into and that the only one thing that they're going to be checking on is, did you choose Christ? Did you invite him into your life? If your name is not found in the book of life, which only you can decide to have it there by accepting Jesus, if that's not there, then you're going before a throne of judgment. I'm so glad that as believers we don't have to go there. There's a throne of rewards, and it's called the Bema Seat. Maybe you've read about it. It's in the Bible. The thing is, when we stand before Jesus, he isn't comparing you to anyone else. He's only comparing you to you and what he called you to do. This is what I ask you to do. Did you have the courage to get up and get a life? Will you get a life with me? Will we be lions that are bold? See, life with Jesus is not some religious, passive, do enough to get by a type of life. That was me in high school. I told my kids this, that you will work hard. Because in high school, I did enough to get by, okay? This is not a lesson of how to do it, kids. But I would go into my test, Ben. This is not a lesson on what to do, okay? If your mom calls me or your dad calls me and gives me heck for this, boy. I would answer my tests, and I would answer enough, and I would count. Okay, yep, that's 50% done. Close it up. And I'd try to get up at my final and walk out, and they'd be like, oh, you have to stay for an hour. I'm like, I've been here for 20 minutes. Come on. I have fun things to do. And they'd be like, you have to stay for an hour or half an hour, whatever it was. And so I'd put my head down and go to sleep, and then they would announce, okay, it's been 1 hour. You can now leave if you're complete. So I'd wake up and get up and take my test and walk away. And very fortunate for me, I was confident in my abilities because I would get 50% every time. And I graduated with a 50% in grade 12, just enough to get by because I only answered 50% of the questions because I did enough to get by. But Jesus hasn't called us to do just enough to get by. Life with Jesus is the most exciting, phenomenal, incredible life that we could ever live. That should be an amen. That's pretty amazing, the life that we have with him. The gifts, the abilities that he has placed within you are to go out there, outside of these walls, and live with such courage and do life with such blessings on people that don't even know him, to pray with people, to encourage people, to live a life of favor. I don't know if I'm supposed to share this. I'll share it. That's okay. So this week I was told I was being released from Husky at the end of the month, March 31st. And I talked to some people, they're like, oh, that's too bad, man. I'm sorry. I was like, yeah. But I start my new job on April 5th. I have one day off because then the next day is Good Friday, and then we have the weekend, and then Monday. Talk about favor. How many people get laid off of jobs in this type of a market and have a job basically ready for them to walk into? That's the favor of God. Life with Jesus is exciting. It's phenomenal. It's incredible. I want to remind you, if you've gotten yourself as a believer off into your own righteousness and into your own ability, then it is time to come boldly back to the throne of grace that is ready for you. When the Bible says come boldly to the throne of grace, I want to challenge the person that might be going through there thinking they're going on their own, who thinks they're just shy. I mean, I understand different personality types, but your shyness is stopping you from living out the gifts and abilities and the future and the pathway that God has placed on your life today. And that is not a godly thing to do. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace. The other thing we need to do is we need to stop falling from grace. Galatians 5:4 says, for if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. If you're trying to live according to the law, you have alienated yourself from Christ. You have separated yourself from Christ. You have pulled yourself apart. You have fallen from grace. And if you have time to read this whole chapter, you're gonna read that he isn't just saying that you're not a Christian or that you're not going to heaven. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. What he is saying is you have fallen from grace. You have severed yourself from the very power and the ability that God has for you. He has for each and every one of us. That's what we've separated ourselves from. It's not that we've fallen away from our salvation. It's that we've separated ourselves from the power and the authority that is ours. That's what we've done. And too many Christians get caught up there all the time relying on myself. Turn my way to do things for God. Instead, we need to remember that we need to come back to the throne of grace where there is mercy for everything going on. For there is strength for everything that's happening in our lives. We can have grace, God's ability, God's favor, and it is there for us, for each and every one of us, to walk out, to live out in boldness. And if you're running from this, if you're running from His favor, if you're running from His grace, then it's time to get into His Word and know these foundations. We need to get in there. Are you keeping up? I hope so. If not, you can watch it again online. It's a beautiful thing about that. So I've shared lots of times with you guys that Paul is an interesting guy from the Bible. And Ephesians 6, after speaking about the armor of God, he is asking the people to pray for him. And it's an interesting thing that he's asking for. I'll tell you, I don't think I've ever had anyone come up to me and ask me to pray for this, but this is what he asked for in Ephesians 6, 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what he's asking for prayer for. I shortened the verse, obviously, because I just want that. That's an important thing, because that's what he asked for prayer for. He is asking to boldly, to confidently preach, to tell others the gospel as I should. Every one of us is called to share the good news of Jesus, right? Are we not? That's one of our jobs as believers, to share the gospel of Jesus, to share the good news. We don't win countries, we don't win provinces, we don't win communities or cities by timidly sitting in our church and having a prayer all-nighters and having intercessory times. Those are important steps, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But that's not the war is won. Now I'm talking. I sound like Joe Biden all over the place. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Stacey just gave me the... That could get me cut off of Facebook. So, where was I? Let me... We can't timidly sit in our seats and just do nothing. We need to boldly get up and get out and do stuff. It's not just about what we do in here. This is where we do stuff. This is where we plan. And that's where we do the action. We need to do the action, people. I believe in prayer. It is part of winning the country, the community, the city, the province for Jesus. But that just gets you ready to get outside of these walls and share boldly. And if Paul was trying to get out and reach city after city, which he was, you think he'd be saying, we need some intercessory prayer time and we need to get people to get behind closed doors and pray. I said, I believe in prayer. That's not what I'm saying. So please, nobody read into that. That is a powerful part of the precursor. But the battle is still out there to tell people about Jesus and go boldly. Prayer is the precursor to an army that gets up on their feet, puts a smile on their face, and goes out and lives in a way that everyone is jealous. Are we living a life so that everyone is jealous, or do we live a life that says, oh, there's old Lyle. There's old Lyle coming down the street. Oh, how do we avoid him? Get in your car, quick. Is that what happens? No, that's not. We want to live a life where people are jealous of what we have in Christ. That's the life we're living. Why? Because we're so blessed. Because we're so successful. That you're so connected to God, the world finally gets a chance to see what a Christian is supposed to be like. That's why the world is jealous. They get to see all the amazing things, the blessings that we have in our life. That's what the world gets to see. And they're like, I want that. I was telling a friend of what happened with my jobs this week. I probably shouldn't be talking about this online, but I don't care. It's an important thing to share. I told a friend, a good friend of mine, what happened with my jobs. And I told him first that I got laid off. He said, oh, I'm so sorry, Dave. Like, that's not fair. And it's not right. And blah, blah, blah. I said, but I start my new job on Monday. What? You got to tell people about this. You have somebody upstairs looking out for you. I was like, you're darn right I do. I didn't say you're darn right, but you know what I mean. I said, you're right, I do. I could have said you're darn right. That would have been a great time to share that, right? But I do. I have God looking out for me. God preparing my steps. God doing things according to his character. As believers, we need to stop sitting there with our checklist of our sins. We need to stop sitting there shaking our fingers at each other. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing this. And we need to start living for him. Paul is saying, pray for me so I can speak boldly, so I can speak confidently. And this is a good example for us today. You don't need to be going out and preaching to people in some archaic language or a sense of self-righteousness. That's not what we're to do. What we need to tell people is that their sins were forgiven 2,000 years ago, but until you accept Jesus and believe in Jesus, what he did for you doesn't do you any good. Did you know that Jesus qualifies you for every promise in heaven? These are the things we need to be telling our community. Did you know that Jesus wants you to be a part of his family? The gospel hasn't changed, but people have changed, and it is up to some... Or, boy, I'm losing track. It's... Too many of us are going around saying some hateful things that God's going to get them, where the fact is that God wants to get them into his family. And if we tell people that God's going to get them and God doesn't love them and God hates them, we need to understand that this isn't New Covenant teaching. God sent his son Jesus, who died for everyone on the planet. I want to clear something else up today. I've heard too many believers and I've far too many people say, well, God is judging that country, or God is judging that town, or God is judging. Why would God judge that country with 30 million people who Jesus died for? And his judgment and wrath already went onto Jesus. And the curse that goes along with wrong behavior went on Jesus. Yeah, we are still preaching the curse to everyone, that God's going to get you idea. If you ask your neighbor if they knew what the gospel is, they probably couldn't tell you. Because for too long, the church has been busy judging the planet, been busy judging our neighbors, been busy judging our country, rather than the life that Jesus came to give you to live. Paul is one of the most bold guys in the New Testament, yet he's asking them to pray that he would have boldness. This is boldness. It's not arrogance. And what he wants is the Holy Spirit to guide him and lead him boldly. This guy is the same guy that in front of a city official, there was this witch doctor kept trying to shut him down. And Paul turned him and said, you're not going to see for a season. And what happened at that point? The guy's eyes turned off because he was coming against the work of God. That's boldness. Yet he was still asking for more boldness. We need to be a church that asks for boldness. I know I'm going longer than I should, but that's okay because I haven't got to preach for a couple weeks, so we get extra time today, right? We need to live with boldness. We need to ask, and we need to live with boldness. You and I need to repent and tell people, or sorry, repent. Represent is the word I'm looking for. Represent Jesus out there in the streets of the community. We need to show Jesus in such a way that it's so spiritually alive rather than just being the mopey Christian. Oh, here comes the Christians again. Let's be alive, people. Let's show that life comes from Jesus. We're not putting people down. We aren't seeing people as if they are under us and bringing them to follow Christ. And I'm not saying to lower yourself and not be confident. Not at all. But we need to choose to be courageous. Being courageous is not a feeling. Being bold and courageous is a choice that we have been called to do, as we read earlier. And I love this verse from Psalms 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It doesn't say he will strengthen your heart first. First, you need to choose to be of good courage, and then he will strengthen your heart. Are you choosing to be of good courage? Are you choosing to be bold? Are we choosing to be a group of bold believers today? We need to choose to be of good courage. I know sometimes you get distracted, and there are things happening in the background with family or work or whatever it is that are trying to distract us from the good things that he is doing. Things could be tough one day, or you could be distracted or feel down, but if we choose to be of good courage, if we could just remember that as a righteous person, because if you have given your life to Jesus, we can be as bold as a lion, we can move forward, and his strength comes into our hearts. Because in our spirit man is the ability of God, the presence of God, the skills, everything that God has. So when I start, I'm just not faking it. I know whose I am. I know who is with me. I know who has bought and paid for me. I know what he wants me to do. And for that reason, I'm going to be courageous. We can all live that way. And many of us are, but this is just a great reminder, I think. We need to be righteous and bold as lions. As a team together, we can reach this community for Jesus. As a team together, we can reach this province for Jesus. As a team together, we can reach this nation for Jesus. Oh, it's just little old Rosetown. Darn right it's little old Rosetown, and we're coming for battle. We're coming to preach the good news. We're coming to be bold and show the righteousness that Christ has given us. Don't hang your heads that it's just little old Rosetown. We're not just little old Rosetown Community Church. We are a group of believers who are bold and courageously moving forward. Are we not? I pray that we are. I pray that your heart is stirred today to be more courageous and bold. When you take courage, all of a sudden his presence will flood your heart and it will rise up and you will realize that it isn't up to you and your ability. When you decide to step up for God, you're going to be surprised at how many Christians see your boldness as pride. Ignore that. They will see this confidence of, I am going to do this. And they will respond with something stupid like, oh, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You know what that is? It's pride. When did we get so mixed up that we have encouraged Christians to be timid, cowardly, do nothing, but at least you're praying people? You know what? If we're saying that, if we're saying we're just praying people, we're just here praying, I want to say we're being cowardly losers. And I don't say that lightly. We are not called to just pray. We are called to do something. We are called to action. We are called to pray and act. If we're just praying, what are we praying for? Are we praying for somebody to be active? Somebody, right? We need to be active people. I don't know how many times I've said that today. And I hope you don't feel like I'm repeating myself. I'm not that CD that's on, hit a bump or whatever and starts skipping and saying it. It's not what I am. I'm really quite passionate about this today. When you decide to step out, we need to step forward full of confidence and boldness. We can't be a lazy group that is just praying and don't physically do anything. To live this life that Christ has given us and the opportunity that Christ has given us. And we can't give up on this opportunity to be a fully functioning New Covenant church and New Covenant believers that are actually active and doing something. Some of you might be thinking, I do that, Dave. Yeah, I'm with you. And some of you might be thinking, who is he to tell me about prayer? If that's you, please take some time to read the scriptures and see what Christ has called us to do as believers. He has called us to be active and activated and getting out there, spending time here in prayer, building each other up, building the game plan, and then getting out there. That's what we've been called to do. Let's be a bold church together. Together we can make a difference. Not just in this church, not just in this community, not just in this province, not just in this nation, but in this world. We can make a difference. Not just little old Rosetown. We are Rosetown Community Church, a church that is activated by the Spirit of God. Let's be bold together. Let's be courageous together. And let's walk our lives in favor together. We're going to participate in communion here in a second. And I know that's really an abrupt way to end this message. We're not done today. Well, we're done today. But we're not done this idea of foundations. But if the Holy Spirit, if you're watching online, the Holy Spirit has stirred you. If we haven't got cut off of Facebook and YouTube because of some of the things I said today, I'm okay if we did. But if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, maybe, actually we'll pray for that part, the other part in a second. But if you don't know Jesus yet, you want to know him, maybe the Holy Spirit is stirring you. You're like, what the heck is that? And you feel like you want to know Jesus and what we're talking about, know this favor and this boldness and this courage that we're talking about. I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer, a simple prayer with me, and have you accept Jesus into your life. And there's no ritual of how this goes, so we're just going to pray it. And I'm going to ask, if you know Jesus and you're with us or you're online and you have people that know Jesus, just repeat after me anyway so that those that don't know Jesus feel comfort and feel safe, okay? We do this every week. So pray with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place and take every punishment and curse. Thank you, Jesus, that I am now free. So Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Because from today on, I'm following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, contact me at the church, 306-882-2453. Email me, lead@rosetownchurch.ca. Comment in the comment box on YouTube or Facebook. Message me on Facebook or YouTube. I check it all. And I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to walk with you. I'd love to give you a Bible and just talk about this bold, courageous life that is available for you. I'm really spitting. That is available to you. I want to talk to you. Now, I'm also, before we do communion, I want to give us an opportunity as a church. And I want to give us this opportunity as a church that if we've been so inside focused, if you've been so inside focused and you haven't been acting out the full game plan, if you've just been focused on the inside walls and haven't been focused on the inside walls and the outside walls, and maybe you feel, if you feel like the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart today and you're like, yeah, I need to repent of that. I'm missing the ball here. I'm missing the mark. I need to walk on that throne of the grace. I need to step back into it. If that's you, we're just going to take a moment here and just pray. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'm going to ask you just to agree with me in prayer. Or maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ as you've been walking separated. Maybe you've been walking with a life of fear. I'm just going to invite you to just join me in prayer as I pray right now. Bow with me. Father God, right now we come before you and we just ask, Father, that you would just continue to stir our hearts, God. Father, I pray that you would continue to reveal to us the things that you have for us. Father, I pray that you would reveal to us your goodness and your grace and your boldness that you've called us to live with. Father, I pray that we as a church would be a church that is bold and excited and on fire for you, Jesus, that we would share your love and your goodness in these walls as we pray and as we gather and as we encourage each other, as we teach, as we live. But Father, I pray it would not stop at these walls, Father, but I pray that for each of us, that we would step out of this building, Father, and minister to our neighbors, our friends, our family. Father, that we would not miss an opportunity to tell someone about your goodness, and we would be bold and courageous about it as a lion. That we would not step softly and gingerly around subjects, Father, but we would boldly go forward and preach your gospel and share your gospel with others, God. Father, I pray for each of us today that we would know your life that you have laid down for us, this in your son Jesus, and I pray that as we think of Jesus and think of what he did for us, that we would step boldly forward in every aspect of our life. Father, maybe it's the fact that some of us are not spending time with you here in this church walls as well, God. I pray that for those of us that might be in that situation, God, that we would shift our heart, change our heart, God, and soften our hearts to you and spend time in your word and spend time in whatever you've called us to do, but and then go out, God. I pray that you would just prepare our hearts. Give us boldness, Father, so that we can go out and share your good news. That we would live a life of boldness. And that we would not forget the work of the cross. God, I pray for every person here today. And I pray for every person watching online today, Father. Protect them, love them. Let them know that they can be bold for you and with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we're doing communion now, and you guys know me. Those of you that are from here, those of you that are watching online and watch me every week, I don't like to make communion a ritual. It's not a ritual. It's not a routine. It's not. When we take the bread and we take the cup, it's not intended to just look back at the past event. I believe that God intended for life to be released through this act of obedience. And in the kingdom, a physical act of obedience brings spiritual release. And I believe that we want to be a church that experiences spiritual release. As New Covenant believers, as New Covenant church members, we want release. And the bread, if you open up your cup, the bread, it represents the body of Jesus. And I pray it, we talk about it week in and week out about how by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. Amen? His stripes is the torn flesh when he was beaten, when Jesus was beaten. This bread, this cracker, whatever, the Cheerios you have at home, whatever you might have, actually represents the torn body of Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. But the point is this, Jesus made a payment for the miracle that you might need in your life. And when we look at communion, we don't look at this as symbolic. We look at communion as life. It's what we do as life. It is a moment of surrender when we yield our hearts to the work that is Jesus and the work that Jesus actually accomplished on our behalf. Amen? Jesus gave us spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing, and mental healing. Jesus gave it all. And Scripture tells us, I'm trying to find my Scripture, sorry. It says, while they're eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Would you guys pray with me? Father God, we come before you as we celebrate communion today, as we participate in this act of physical release, physical blessing, as we are preparing for spiritual blessing, spiritual release. God, I pray that this spiritual and physical act that we are about to do, God, I pray that we would experience in reality, not the fact that you've already brought the healing, but that we would receive it today, that we would receive the spiritual healing, that we would receive this physical healing that you have for us, that we would receive the emotional healing, that we would receive the mental healing that we have already there for us. And I pray, God, that in our hearts we would receive it from you already. Father, if there's any person in here that has a need like that, I pray that they will receive your goodness today and your blessings today on that side. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. then we get to the cup, the blood. And it's the blood of Jesus that sets us free. There's no forgiveness apart from the blood of Jesus. The legal basis of our freedom. The legal basis for us having access to heaven. The legal basis for our righteousness. Jesus' death, his burial, his ascension into heaven gives us this new covenant as we are a new covenant type church. We are new covenant people. And we believe and walk in the power and authority that was given to us, as I said earlier today. Do we not? Let's be a people of power. Let's be a people of authority. Let's be a people of blessings. Scripture continues and tells us when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood and of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Let's partake together after we pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this contract, this agreement that you have made with us by the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to walk in righteousness, the opportunity to live life to the full that you've called us to do because of your blood. So God, we thank you for your son Jesus. We thank you for the cross, and we thank you for the new life we have. Thank you for the righteousness you poured on us, and thank you for your throne of grace. Thank you for the boldness. Thank you for the authority. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you partake with me? Okay, God. God, we thank you. We thank you for calling all of us. For calling us all to walk in authority, to call us all to walk in blessings, to call us all to walk in boldness, for calling us to gather together and minister to each other, and then calling us to step out of these walls and go and reach our community, our province, our nation, this world for you. God, we thank you for your grace that you heap upon us. And Father, we thank you for the love you've showered on us all. God, I pray that you would bless each person here today, Father. I pray that you would reveal to us, if we need revealed to, Father, the boldness and authority we can walk in, Father, that we wouldn't live a life of fear, but we would live a life of boldness for you. God, we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, God bless. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.